Hello everyone, this is Krishna Raj Rana from Byte Scout. In this podcast, we will be going to talk about basics of indexing and the type of indexes available in SQL Server and when we need to implement indexing. In this podcast, I will also explain you some guidelines which you should consider when planning indexing strategy. So, who are we waiting for? Let's start our journey. The decision and implementation of indexes are an important component of any SQL Server database design, not only in terms of what should be indexed, but where those indexes should be stored, how they should be partitioned, and how data will be queried. So first thing first, let us talk about indexing structure. Indexes are created on columns in tables or views. Indexes are automatically created when primary key and unique key constraint are defined on the table columns. So if you create an index on the primary key and then search for a row of data based on one of the primary key values, SQL Server first finds that value in the index and then uses that index to quickly locate the entire row of data. Without the index, a table scan would have to be performed in order to locate the row, which can have a significant effect on a performance. An index is a made up of a set of pages that are organized in a B-tree structure. This structure is hierarchical in nature, with the root node at the top of the hierarchy and the leaf nodes at the bottom. When a query is issued against an index column, the query engine starts at the root node and navigates down through the intermediate nodes, and it continues down through the index nodes until it reaches the leaf node. For example, if you are searching for the value 191 in an indexed column, the query engine would first look into the root level to determine which page to reference in the top intermediate level. Now let's assume that the first page points to the value 1 to 100 and the second page points to the value 101 to 200. So the query engine would go to the second page on that level. The query engine would then determine that it must go to the third page at the next intermediate level. From there, the query engine would navigate to the leaf node for a value 191. The leaf node will contain either the entire row of data or pointer to that row, depending on whether the index is clustered or non-clustered. Now you have a question that what do you mean by non-clustered index and what do you mean by clustered index? So let us discuss that. From a simple standpoint, SQL Server offers two types of indexes, clustered and non-clustered. In its simplest definition, a clustered index is an index that stores the actual data, and non-clustered index is just a pointer to that data. An important characteristic of the clustered index is that the indexed values are sorted in either ascending or descending order. As a result, there can be only one clustered index on a table or a view, and there can be up to 999 non-clustered indexes depending on the SQL Server version. In addition, data in a table is sorted only if clustered index has been defined on that particular table. A table that has a clustered index is referred to as a cluster table. A table that has no clustered index is referred to as a heap. Now, let's understand the non-clustered index. Unlike a clustered index, the leaf node of a non-clustered index contain only the values from the indexed columns and row locators that points to the actual data rows rather than contain the data rows themselves. This means that the query engine must take an additional step in order to locate the actual data. Non-clustered indexes cannot be sorted like clustered indexes. However, you can create more than one non-clustered index on a table or a view. SQL Server 2005 supports up to 249 non-clustered indexes, and from SQL Server 2008 it supports up to 999 indexes. Well, this certainly doesn't mean you should create that much of indexes. Indexes can both help to increase the performance, and it also sometimes reduce the performance. In addition to being able to create multiple non-clustered indexes on a table or a view, you can also add included columns to your index. This means that you can store at the leaf level not only the values from the index column but also the values from the non-indexed columns. Indexes are automatically maintained for a table whenever the table data is modified. So, how indexes are used by the query optimizer when we run any query? Well, indexes must be designed carefully because they can take up significant amount of disk space and may also reduce the performance. Well-designed indexes can reduce disk I/O operations and consume fewer system resources, therefore improving query performance. Indexes can be helpful for a variety of queries that contain select, update or delete statement. Say for example, when I execute this query, select first name, comma last name, comma hiring date from employee master, where employee ID equal to 250 in my database. Then the query optimizer evaluates each available method for retrieving that data and select the most efficient method. The method may be a table scan or may be scanning one or more indexes if they exist. When performing a table scan, the query optimizer reads all the rows in the table and extract the rows that meet that search criteria of the query. A table scan generates many disk I/O operations and can be resource intensive. However, a table scan could be the most efficient method if, for example, the result set of the query is a high percentage of rows from the table. So, how indexes are used by the query optimizer when we run any query? When the query optimizer uses an index, it searches the index key columns, find the storage location of the rows needed by the query, and extract the matching rows from that location. Generally, searching the index is much faster than searching the table because, unlike a table, an index frequently contains very few columns per row and the rows are in sorted order. The query optimizer typically selects the most efficient method when executing queries. However, if no indexes are available, the query optimizer must use a table scan. So, as a DBA or a developer, we need to carefully design and create an index that are best suited to our environment so that the query optimizer has a selection of efficient indexes from which to select one. The selection of the right indexes for a database and its workload is a complex balancing act between query speed and update cost. Indexes with a few columns in the index key requires less disk space and maintain overhead, while indexes on the other hand cover more queries. So you may have to experiment with several different designs before finding the most efficient index. Experienced database administrator or a developer can design a good set of indexes, but this task is very complex, time-consuming and error-prone for even moderately complex databases and workloads. So, is there any recommended strategy for designing an index? Well, yes, there is some guideline which you should consider when planning an indexing strategy. So, let's go through it one by one. Okay, the first one is understand the characteristic of the most frequently used queries. For example, knowing that A frequently used query joins two or more tables will help you to determine the best type of indexes to use. The second thing, also understand the characteristic of the columns used in that queries. For example, an index is idle for columns that have an integer data type and are also unique or non-null columns, which means if any column have more duplicate records, then it is not best fit for index. Okay, the third one, for tables that are heavily updated, use as few columns as possible in the index and don't over-index the tables. Large number of indexes on a table affect the performance of insert, update and delete statements because all indexes must be adjusted appropriately as data in the table changes. Fourth one we need to keep in mind is for clustered indexes, try to keep the length of the indexed column as short as possible. Ideally, try to implement your clustered indexes on unique columns that do not permit null values. This is why the primary key is often used for the table's clustered index, although query consideration should also be taken into account when determining which columns should participate in the clustered index. The fifth one, the uniqueness of values in a column affect the index performance. In general, the more duplicate values you have in a column, the more poorly the index performs. On the other hand, the more unique each value on that column, the better performance you will get for that index. The sixth one, determine which index options might enhance performance when the index is created or maintained. For example, creating a clustered index on an existing large table would benefit from the online index option. The online option allows for concurrent activity on that underlying data to continue while the index is being created or rebuilt. And the seventh point is create non-clustered indexes on the columns that are frequently used in predicates and join condition in queries. These are your searchable columns. However, you should avoid adding unnecessary columns. Adding too many index columns can adversely affect the dispatch and index maintenance performance. The eighth point is consider the order of the columns if the index will contain multiple columns. The column that is used in the where clause in an equal to, greater than, less than or between search condition or participate in a join should be placed first. Additional column should be ordered based on their level of distinctness, that is from the most distinct to the least distinct values. For example, if the index is defined as last name, first name, then the index will be useful when the search criteria is where last name equal to John and first name equal to Doe. However, the query optimizer would not use the index for a query that search only for the first name. For example, if the query have a condition like select star from employee master where first name equal to Jenny, then query optimizer will not able to use the efficient index. Okay, the nine number point is when defining indexes, you should consider whether the data for the index key column should be stored in ascending or descending order. Ascending is the default and maintains the compatibility with the earlier version of SQL Server. The syntax of the create index statements support the keyword ASC for ascending and DESC for descending on individual columns in indexes and constraints. specifying the order in which the key values are stored in an index is useful when queries referencing the table have order by clause that specify different direction for the key columns in that indexes. In these cases, the index can remove the need for a sort operator in the query plan. Therefore, this makes the query more efficient. Okay, and the last point to keep in mind is you can also use the tool like Database Engine Tuning Advisor to analyze your database and make the index recommendation. So where you find that tool? Well, it is available in SQL Server Management Studio under Tools menu. Now, apart from all this, there is also one restriction, which is you can create indexes on most of the columns in a table, but the exceptions are primarily those columns configured with large objects data types such as image, text, varchar max and varbinary max. Alright, now at the end, the key goal of this podcast is to familiarize yourself with the fundamentals or basics of indexing and the different guidelines available while designing the indexing strategy. This by no means is a complete guideline of SQL Server indexing, but for more information about the indexes, I would recommend to check out the SQL Server books online. Okay, thank you for listening this podcast and stay tuned for more.